It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table, everyone. I hope you have your Bibles open to the book of Ruth. We are back with our Bible study teacher, and her name is Beth Seifert. And if you missed yesterday's overview of the book of Ruth, Beth was here and she gave a splendid overview of what is a precious book in the Bible. Beth, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you. And you know, today's lesson two is titled Welcome to Desolation. This one, I know it has to start here, but it's not very cheery and happy. Why don't you set the scene for lesson two, Beth?
Yeah, no, this is definitely not the way that you would typically start a book. Usually, you know, this is the best of times, this is the worst of times. Yeah, this is pretty much the worst of times. We are going to meet Naomi and Ruth. We're going to start actually in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to go ahead and read those verses, and we're going to see where we go.
All right.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. And I'm reading from the ESV version there. I should have probably said that at the beginning, but... So that first verse seems really simple, but there's a lot behind it. This was a time when the judges were in charge of Israel. The book immediately before Ruth is a book called Judges, and it ends with these very sobering words. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You catch that?
Yes.
Everyone did whatever they wanted to, whatever was quote-unquote, right for them. Sound a little familiar? How often do we hear or even say, well, this may be right for you, but that's not right for me? This was a time when truth was very muddy. The people did not seek truth. They sought the desires of their hearts, which, as we know from Psalm 73:7, from their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. It's not a great idea to go from the desire of our hearts. It's a time when people ignored God's truth and exchange it for a lie, as we see in Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And added to that, there's a famine in the land, so there's no food. It's very difficult to support a family and take care of their basic needs if you don't have food and everyone else is just doing what's right for them. There simply wasn't enough food to go around. You couldn't raise crops. Couldn't graze sheep or cattle or goats on dead grass, and Elimelech had a wife and two sons who needed to eat. He had land, but the land right now was pretty much useless. So he makes the decision to leave Bethlehem and go into Moab in hopes of finding a way to support his family there. And that's still a main factor for people moving around today. We need to support ourselves and our families. So they leave and they go into Moab, and apparently they must find a way to support themselves there, although the Bible doesn't tell us what they do, but they remain there for about a decade, so I'm assuming that they probably ate something in that time. While they're there, Elimelech dies, and he leaves the family without a head. Under Jewish customs, the sons were supposed to support their widowed mother. Well, Naomi's sons had found wives from among the people of Moab, and as we talked about in the overview yesterday, that wasn't a great choice. The people of Moab were cursed and despised, and while it wasn't directly forbidden to marry a Moabite, it was not encouraged, and it was definitely looked down upon. Mm-hmm. So these women were probably not the first choice for wives for their sons. They didn't really want to join their family with those who worship false gods, and because they knew it's going to cause problems. Still, the sons managed to support their mother and their new wives for several years, and then both sons die. Without her sons to provide for her, Naomi is left dependent on the charity of the community she lives in, and she's responsible for her daughters-in-law. However, the people around her are Moabites. they aren't going to give first choice to a Jewish immigrant over their own people. So she's in a very dangerous position. Again, first she had to move because they didn't have any food, so her husband moved them to this land. And now here she is again, 10 years later, without anyone to support her. But she's responsible for 3 mouths to feed. So now we find Naomi, and she is absolutely bereft, empty, and she's absolutely despondent. It's a very bleak future for these 3 widows without any way to support themselves, especially since the oldest widow is a foreigner, without any family to step up and care for them in Moab. So in these first 5 verses of Ruth, we see Naomi's emptiness is absolutely complete. She has neither husband nor sons, and is left in charge of 2 idol-worshipping, childless daughters-in-law.
Hmm. Wow.
Now, there's a few interesting tidbits that are kind of tied into this. Elimelech takes his family and he leaves Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem suggests house of food. The house of food was empty. Elimelech's name means my God is king. But my God is king doesn't rely on God to provide for his family in Bethlehem. He feels he has to leave to provide food, and then he dies. Mahlon, that's the name of Ruth's husband, means weakling or sickly person.
Hmm.
He also dies. Chilion, whose name means frail person. Yeah, you can see where that's going. He dies too.
Yes.
By the way, those names were probably given to the sons after their illnesses became evident. You don't typically name your son weakling, hoping that he'll be a weakling.
Yeah, I would think not.
I would hope so. But you give them, but they would give them those nicknames after they, to describe them, to describe how they were. So after Elimelech dies, all was not lost, as there was still a possibility of continuing the family line through the sons, but then they died.
Mm-hmm.
So the Moabite wives may have been a sign that Elimelech's family was planning on staying in Moab because they took those wives to, and were planning on settling there permanently because those wives couldn't enter back into the fellowship of the Lord for 10 generations. So by taking these Moabite wives, these young men have made a decision to make their home among these foreign idol-worshipping people. But that didn't produce any children anyway. So these men were not still not able to carry on the family line, which probably had something to do with their illnesses. There's no mention of blame for the lack of children directed at the women, which sometimes there is that mention and that God has closed a womb or those kinds of things. So we know that they weren't healthy, they weren't well, they died, and these women are left alone. Now, it's amazing how quickly we go from Naomi, whose name means beautiful or pleasant or delightful, to Naomi, who has been left burdened and empty.
Hmm.
She's been completely emptied, and she's in despair at her circumstances and has no idea where to go next. What we will see as we progress through is that Naomi is searching for help. She's looking for redemption from the dire circumstances that she finds herself in. But we stopped here today to look at Naomi and how empty she is. She has lost everything that she held dear. Everyone and everything she counted on to provide for her needs is gone. But the one thing that's missing here is that Naomi had forgotten who was really in control. She had forgotten Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's one of God's names that he gives himself.
Mm-hmm.
She is, as we will see, so completely desolate here that I can't help but wonder if she hadn't made an idol for herself out of her family. If she put more importance on her husband and her children than on God, and God is showing her where her worship needed to be at, because now she's left without them and is empty and hopeless, has nowhere else to turn. Now, in the Bible, we have many more examples of despair, but the one that strikes me as I read through Naomi is the scene of the crucifixion. Because when Christ died on the cross, the despair of the believers was absolute. They knew, all that they knew was that Jesus was gone. The emptiness that they must have felt must have been overwhelming, just as Naomi's was.
Mm-hmm.
They had put their hope in their own expectations of Jesus. They expected him to rescue their people from the rule of the Romans. They expected Jesus would overthrow the rulers and he would be their king. What they didn't understand was that a crown without the cross would have condemned all of us for eternity. They still didn't understand why Jesus had really come, but that would change. In just 3 days, the believers would find that they were no longer empty. They would instead be filled up with Christ in ways that they had never imagined. they didn't know then what we know now. That is, Acts 2:24 says, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Death cannot keep him.
Mm. Wow.
Each and every one of us also must empty ourselves to allow Christ to fill us up. We have to be willing to give up our own agendas, our own plans, to keep his plans ahead of everything else. To give up our hope of promotion, our desire for financial security, romantic love, our desire to fill ourselves up with whatever our flesh desires. To give up the idols that we hold so dear that are keeping us from seeing him. Anything good can become an idol. It's not bad to want a promotion, but when that promotion is all we think about, we've created an idol for ourselves. What happens when you don't get the promotion? Your whole world comes crashing down and you are hurt and angry. Emptying of ourselves of our fleshly wants and desires and actions, while it may leave us momentarily feeling desolate, is the best thing that can happen to us. We have to be ready to allow him to fill our needs. We must be ready to trust him to do so, to allow his redemptive work to bear fruit in our lives. So today, as you ponder Naomi's emptiness, and remember, this is just the first five verses. We've got the whole rest of the book to go through. Remember that this is only the first part of the story. Just as our emptying ourselves of all of the idols in our hearts is only the first part. The filling, the redemption is still to come, and it is an amazing redemption that we are offered.
What an incredible study today. Even though it was about the desolation, there is so much more to come, and this desolation needed to happen for Naomi. Ladies, I just encourage you to go to our website today at naomistable.com and download the study Bible notes and have your own Bible study. Bring some ladies around your own table and be ready to get into the Word of God. Well, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Beth. We will be right back.